Well, I suppose the alternative is to leave the country in a state of complete chaos and become a failed state. So you're not presented with perfect choices that if we don't intervene, it's going to be a glittering and free democracy, and if we do, we're going to create havoc. We obviously don't do that. I mean, what's happened in some of the countries of the Pacific is we've been able to strengthen their institutions, their police, their ombudsman commission, their attorney generals and solicitor generals offices and so on, so that the whole system works better in terms of dealing with corruption. In one or two cases, there's a very long way to go, and Solomon Islands falls into the latter category.
The recent scenes of anarchy in the Solomons are just the latest in a series of incidents of political unrest in the Pacific. But Minister Downer says the framework exists in these countries for democratic governments to operate effectively.
I think in every country in the region they've got the right laws in place. So it's a question of the law enforcement authorities and the investigatory authorities not only having more resources and more training and more capability to deal with these things, and that has happened in some of the countries of the Pacific, but obviously making sure that they have the will to do so as well, making sure that as best we can, corruption doesn't creep into those institutions. So, I mean, I think there are actually quite a lot of cases of countries in the Pacific where corruption has been dealt with reasonably well. We're talking here particularly about Solomon Islands, and there have been efforts made in Vanuatu in recent times to improve the transparency and accountability of political leaders, and that's the case in Papua New Guinea, though, you know, there's still a way to go there, but still, that is the best we can do. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't walk away from the fact that the era of colonialism has now come to an end. We don't run these countries, and Australia is not ultimately responsible for them. They are responsible for their own destiny themselves. So, you know, one of the issues is that electors in Australia would obviously penalise a politician or politicians who were corrupt, even if the law didn't, although the law probably would. But in parts of the South Pacific, and not throughout the South Pacific, the public just shrug their shoulders and say, well, you know, that's the way it is. And so the electorate tends not to penalise that kind of behaviour. And, you know, to some extent, they therefore must be held responsible for what's happened.
Foreign Minister Alexander Downer. University of Queensland Pacific Island expert Dr. Clive Moore says electoral problems are rife in the region and says the Solomons shouldn't be singled out.
I was very glad that Prime Minister Rennie decided to step down, because it was the circuit breaker that was needed to deal with the situation. It was a very democratic election. It was a proper process in the parliament, but we all know that it was a corrupted process. But it's not something which is in the Solomon Islands alone. The buying of people into parliament is not unknown in Papua New Guinea. It's a very usual practice, and it happens in other parts of the Pacific. I wouldn't like to see the Solomons singled out here as if they were some sort of anomaly in the way that their political operatives work. They're not. There's a much wider pattern here, which is very different. You're facing a whole different context of democracy and parliamentary practice.
There's a strong feeling much of the recent violence was born out of frustration, brought about by poor economic circumstances. And Dr. Moore says Australia should be doing more to alleviate the situation. He has a couple of suggestions.
I'd like to make two concrete suggestions to Australia, and they're both about economic development. One is put a road from Honiara to the weather coast of Guadalcanal. It's quite amazing that on an island like Honiara, with a capital city, the weather coast, the other side of the island, is basically not contactable with the capital city by road, and you would, by putting in that road, have much more economic development on that island. And then there needs to be some serious look at development on the island of Malaita to start with, particularly on the east coast, the weather coast again of Malaita. The reason that things are going wrong is largely to do with, this is a Honiara problem too, it's not a total Solomon problem. 85% of Solomon Islanders are living very happily in their villages, even if they're poor. There needs to be better development on those two major islands, and development projects that can bring people up from a poverty level, a poverty reduction in other parts of the country. There's been too much concentration on public service, law and infrastructure.